not. So, all right.
Then we'll go ahead and go with you, Lindsay.
Okay. So, I am presenting to you on Carter. He is a 16-year-old single white male. He currently resides with his paternal grandparents. His parents are separated. Both have a history of drug abuse. His dad is currently under criminal investigation for drug use. His mom has a children and youth case opened against her. He is not allowed to see either parent right now. He's currently on probation. His probation just got extended. He also attends an alternative education school and a weekend program. He's on house arrest and has an ankle monitor, which he frequently forgets to charge, and then somehow ends up at his mom's house. Let me see what else. This video you're going to see is anywhere between the 10th and 15th time I've met with him. I kind of went back through my case notes and tried to decide. It's probably around number 12. He is diagnosed, or it's a drug and alcohol treatment facility, so he is there through his probation. Our site, for whatever reason, is not allowed to do like any type of like mental health diagnosis. So I have diagnosed him with F1220, which is cannabis use disorder severe, and then F1020, which is alcohol use severe. Some things I've ruled out, just so that you guys are aware of this. He came to us and told us that he, at some point along the line, at some school that he got kicked out of, was given an ADHD diagnosis. I've never seen him present ADHD, and so I personally have not diagnosed that with him. He's also not medicated for ADHD. And doesn't have any, his IEP is for emotional support and not for anything related to an ADHD diagnosis. He also has anger issues, but he does not meet criteria for intermittent explosive disorder, oppositional defiant disorder, or bipolar at this time. And I also ruled out adjustment disorder because he's adjusted well to both being on probation and living with his grandparents. So you're going to see me confronting a lot in this video, but all feedback is welcome. So I think, I hit all the points, I believe. I did? Okay. So we will see if we can get this video up and rolling. Give me just a second. And the best way to do it is the share content. I think that's what Carly said last week. Is that right? Share content?
I think so.
I do file open and share, and that's what typically works best for me. But you could try either.
That file open and share.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of issues. So see if we can get this up and rolling. Only presenter can share an audio or video file. I think Trudy's got the ball, so does that mean I need the ball? There we go.
Sorry about that. I was trying to run there,
Trudy,
see if I could find.
I will forgive you.
My file.
All right. Let's make sure y'all can see this and hear this. Dr. Navici, I can see you on my screen, so you can you see it and hear it? All right. All right, here we go.
I'm good. Feel good about it. You're happy you got a job. We were working towards you getting a job.
All right, so that is harder for you. So, and I forgot to mention this, Craig is his probation officer, and you mentioned Schaffner, which is a juvenile detention center that he would be eligible to go for, to, or to go to. So I just forgot to clarify those things, but.
I'll make some comments, Lindy. I wanted to say that I was going to start to say you should maybe use some MI in that. And then, boom, there it came. And you nailed that. I really appreciated the way that you were just so direct with that guy, because kids, you know, at that age, and sometimes we're like, oh, my word, why can't you see the black and white here? But you didn't just nail him with that. You let him put it all out in front of himself and see what that looked like. And I appreciated the way you let him kind of come up with those solutions, yet you, you know, like said it back to him. So it was like, oh, okay, so that's what's going on. I really wish I could find something to offer as far as a suggestion, but I was going to, I had something and then you did it. So I'm kind of up on that. So good job. I really appreciate it, especially your rapport with that age. I work with high school kids just as a teacher, and they are a unique set, and they are kind of picky about who they choose to relate to. And he was opening up with you, so that was pretty cool to see.
I will go. Wait, Carly, do you want to go?
Go ahead.
So I feel like I have an unfair advantage because I know you so well. I could literally see, like, I just know you so well and how your mannerisms and stuff. So I'll try not to be biased. But, sorry, my cat is sitting on all my notes. Okay, that's what I said. So the first positive in my sandwich was your confrontation skills. I know that can be, like, iffy or, you know, used, and it's a challenging skill to use, but I thought kind of like what Trudy said, I thought that was great, especially, I don't even know how to say this, for someone, like, going through these types of things, or like the age group or whatever you want to call it, it is easy to just say what you as a counselor would want to hear, right? Like, I'm meeting my milestones, I'm doing everything I need to do, like, here's what you want to hear so you can give a good report. And I'm glad that you don't let him get away with that. Not like everybody would do that, but I think that it's really good to confront and kind of hold him accountable. Like, are you sure? Like, you need to be meeting this. You're not just telling me what I want to hear. So I thought confronting him is a really good technique to use. And I think it also, I think he also knows that you do that, which kind of also builds the level of rapport between y'all in some sort of way. Like, he knows he can't pull a quick one with you or something like that, but you can tell he respects you and there is a good rapport between you guys. Maybe it's because you got, like, a youth pastor degree. I'm not sure. You're just great at, like, communicating with him and being there for him. The other, I don't know what to do for the meat for this because I thought you did such a good job. The one thing that I would say, knowing myself and when I sit in chairs like that, it's really easy for my posture to get, like, a little slack or to, like, lean back in the chair because that's what they do. So that's the only thing that I would say for that. And then for the other piece of my sandwich, the bread on the bottom, I really like how you not only are acting as a counselor with this, and I know it might be a little different because of the circumstances of the office you work in, but I like how you're not only acting as a counselor, but you're teaching him too, and teaching him about a debit card or about, you know, well, there's going to be interest if you get a credit card. Has anybody taught you about this? Which I think a lot of people kind of miss, that we're not only here to counsel our clients and walk us beside them, but to advocate for to them and, you know, help them in whatever ways they need to. So I thought that was really good that you're also acting as a resource for him in those ways as well. I wish we could have kept watching to see you keep going on that conversation y'all were in. But overall, you did a really awesome job. So, yeah, good job.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, but I think Carly was up right before you.
Oh, oops, my bad.
It's okay.
It's okay. No worries. Lindsay, I think generally speaking, you have a very good skill set that is very effective with this client population. It's very evident to me. Like, I feel like it's a calling for you that I certainly don't have. I think your rapport with the client was excellent. A couple things that I wrote down, like, I think you hit on confrontation really well. You hit on psychoeducation really well, which is super important with substance abuse. I led a substance abuse IOP class last semester, and so much of what we did was like practical skills and managing finances and those practical needs to help people get back on their feet. And so I think that's really effective, and you can kind of continue to explore that with this client. And then I noticed that interviewing questions, like what are things that you can do to ensure you're making good decisions. Thought that was really effective. It was interesting because with the whole confrontation piece, I wrote down as like a suggestion, because you said try not to get yourself in credit card debt. And my first reaction to that was, I wrote that down because I was like, I want to analyze that a little more, because if you said that to me, I would probably be like, who is she assuming that I can't manage my finances? Like, that's kind of like suggestive in that way. However, I think the more I thought about it and kind of reflected on it, I think with the population that you work with, and maybe you know this client and his struggles, maybe that was more appropriate than I initially thought it was. And I don't think it's a black or white answer, but I think it's just something to be mindful of when I say this to a client. If it's kind of directive in this sense, how are they going to receive it? And it seemed like he received it well. It didn't seem like he took offense to it. However, I could see that in other situations being iffy there, and like leading to some resistance there. I agree. I think you are very relaxed in your posture, but I would say like maybe try to lean forward a little bit more. I think it's probably just comfortable in that environment because your clients are relaxed, but just trying to lean forward a little more. And then there were a couple times that I thought that a closed-ended question could have been really presented well in an open-ended format. I really liked that you pointed out the client's inconsistencies after you used the scaling question. I thought it was interesting how the client seemed to not want to get in trouble, but also get in trouble at the same time. That was very good that you pointed out that inconsistency. So overall, great job.
Kevin, do you want to share your viewpoints real quick?
Yeah. I think confrontation within the substance abuse field is a very great technique to use, a very great style, because The way you handled it, I think was great. And like Carly and a few others said, the way you pulled out the discrepancies was amazing. Like, I don't think anybody could have done a better job. One thing, now that's all a positive, okay? I think the I don't want to use the word negative, but something I would really like pay attention to moving forward. A couple of things is the why question. Why did you do this? Or however you worded it, like coming from a patient standpoint, right, that shuts us down. Because it's almost like I take it back to the parental aspect, like, son, why in the world did you do? Like, it's really almost like pointing fingers, calling them out, you know, all of that. And it can, and it has, and it will shut any client down, especially those within the substance abuse realm. And I think it's actually important for anybody working in the substance abuse field, especially to become educated ourselves on the internal mechanisms of how substance abuse drives us internally. And the reason I say that is because if you ask me why I've done this thing 100 times and still don't get the picture, I probably can't tell you. Like, that's the internal mechanism neurologically that is driving the bus here. Like, I ain't got no control over this deal. And so I think it's important for, you know, and I'm not trying to point fingers at you. I'm saying in a general sense, because even, you know, that's something I have to study daily, is, you know, make sure my knowledge within the substance abuse field and, you know, really maintaining competence within the research arena is up to date and up to par. Because without the understanding of that, I'm not competent enough in order to be effective with my clients. Other than that, I can see that you know the rapport that was great. So the why question didn't really affect the situation itself, or didn't affect the session. And you're going to find that, at least I found that to be so. I think overall, it was a great session. And especially the way you really confronted him, I think that was really amazing. I have yet to see anybody like that. Even I don't do that, and I work in the field. So I think really the confrontation was amazing. All around amazing. Keep up the good work, and I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to keep my comments really short for you, Lindsay. I think you did a good job. I think everybody else gave you some good feedback. I would say probably the reason why this client had an ADHD diagnosis at one point is probably his impulse control, because he mentioned not being able to stop, and he had to act and then learn from his consequences, which is typically impulsivity. So I would imagine that is probably what is the driving force behind that original ADD/ADHD diagnosis. That's just speculation kind of on my part. Something to consider. Other than that, your classmates pretty much hit on everything that I was going to say. So, good job. Dr. Edwards, did you want to speak up on anything, or do we want to pass the control on?
Can I comment first on some of the things?
Sure thing.
So first off, Angela, to your point, whenever I had done my case conceptualization write-up, I had diagnosed him with ADHD with the impulse control, but then when I actually sat down and was trying to check enough boxes off, I couldn't do it based on what he presented. And so I had originally had that in my paper. I was going to, my handy-dandy DSM's right here, I was going to pull it up to give you the F code, and I was sitting there in that paragraph underneath where you kind of have to justify. I was like, I can't justify this
based
on what he's presenting to me now.
And
so just because somebody gives me, you know, some other people in the field, especially drug and alcohol field, can probably attest that they get a lot of clients that present bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, come on, you're withdrawing from a drug, you're gonna present bipolar. And so a lot of times it's like, what is being presented to me now? Yes, I'll look at the history of the client, but where are you at now? And what do I need to work on with you? So I agree with your impulse control. I just couldn't justify it in the paper.
Yeah.
So I want to thank everybody for saying that my confrontation skills are good. A little bit of background that I didn't give you, he was getting ready to be successfully discharged, and then for a week and a half used daily marijuana, and so his probation officer and I were pretty frustrated with him, and so confrontation was pretty easy from the aspect of like, okay, like we got to get this kid back on the right track. Some of the why questions to Kevin is some, I'm besides his grandmother, the only other female adult in his life. And so sometimes, especially with like the psychoeducational stuff with the credit card, which I think Natalie and Carly hit on a little bit, I feel like I have to do some of those. I have to bring a lot of psychoeducational stuff into counseling because nobody else is going to be doing that for him. Specifically, Carly, the credit card debt thing that you brought up, he had recently just stolen his grandma's credit card and rang up a bill of $900 via online PlayStation things, and so which he is now required to pay back. Probation is requiring him to pay his grandparents back. And so I just needed to make sure that he knew, like, you got $900, you got to pay her. Like, don't go racking up more credit card debt somewhere else. And I 100% agree on the chair and the posture. I absolutely hate that chair. But if you saw how our office was set up, there is space for the client's chair and my computer desk chair. And so if I could push my wall out 10 feet one way and 10 feet the other way, I would have a chair that, like, I wouldn't swivel in and I could lean forward in and be more comfortable, because I even thought, like, should I just bring in an extra chair when I film this? And I was like, it's not worth it. So, and Trudy, thank you for the MI comments. I often feel like I'm not good at doing MI. So it's good to see that you're able to pick up on that. So I think that I've addressed everybody. So thanks so much, everybody.
Good job, Lindsay. Thank you. Trudy, you ready?
Yes. So my client is, we're going to call her Maxine. She's a 64-year-old divorced white female who lives alone. She and her ex-husband, who lives about 3 hours away, have three adult children and two grandchildren. Some significant things about Maxine is that when their children were younger, she was reported for child abuse by a counselor that she was seeing at that time, and her children were removed from the home. And her husband got custody. She was able to have them on the weekends. That really bothers her, the whole thing of that, you know, because typically we think of the mom getting custody and the dad is the weekend parent. And so that stereotype, or that, you know, the typical way that that is, really kind of bothers her that she's on the other side of that. Her presenting problems are that she has obsessive worry about how her grandchildren are being raised. She does deal with anger, anxiety, procrastination, some impulsivity. She struggles with low self-esteem and guilt about her own parenting. Also, frequent periods of depression. It doesn't really interfere with her work attendance, but she does have it does have kind of a negative impact on just enjoyment of her personal life. She tends to just ruminate over things a lot. I mean, and consequently, you get the impression that she's stuck, that she just really can't move past herself. She lost, in fact, you know, the anger side of it, she lost a job when she was younger because of anger situation. Her family, I believe, causes a lot of what's going on now, because her father was an alcoholic. There was no comment. She's not expressed anything about him being abusive in any way, but he was just gone a lot. He was out of the home. He would come home from work and then go back to the bar. Her mom did not talk to her about that. In fact, it was just very seldom mentioned that the whole alcohol side of things, and consequently, Max, I shouldn't say consequently because I don't know what the, you know, what she would have correlated that to, but she said that she ended up feeling like the her dad being gone so much and the alcoholism was her fault. She doesn't actually talk about it, but the thing of you can just infer attachment issues because her dad was basically not present most of her childhood. Then she was involved in three dating relationships before meeting her husband, one of which was a 15-year-old guy, and he broke up with her. The second man cheated on her, and then the third one also broke up with her. He had an 8-year-old daughter, and things just weren't working out that way. When she finally met her husband, then she knew that he drank alcohol but didn't understand how much. And of course, you know, it may have been one of those things. She wasn't just didn't really want to acknowledge it. But by the time they were married, she was seeing that he did have an alcohol problem. He went into treatment. She went in for treatment as well for codependent issues. And then they were married for 15 years, and she threatened divorce a lot, but her husband finally was the one who filed for divorce. And then, of course, that whole thing with the children being taken out of the home. Since the divorce, she's had three partners, two of whom she was with in a long-term relationship. She does church regularly. Her circle of support is probably mostly from her church. She considers her pastor to be a positive support as well. Not a lot as far as other medical issues. She would like to lose weight, but that is also kind of tied into the procrastination and so forth. She's just being stuck and can't move forward. For the diagnosis, I came up with persistent depressive disorder because it's just that low grade kind of a thing, and it just really sticks with her. Generalized anxiety disorder as well, and then of course the parent-child relational problems, and that bleeds over into her relationship with her grandkids as well. Her presenting problems: low self-esteem, anger, persistent negative thoughts about herself, depression and apathy / procrastination and anxiety and family distress. Let's see, is as far as what, am I missing anything else here? Oh, as far as treatment, we are using cognitive behavioral therapy as well as biblical education. She is, of course, very open to the spiritual side of things. Education on shame and guilt, because that does seem to kind of hang over her. And EMDR. We've been seeing the client, well, she was there before I was there, and I've been seeing her off and on since January. She has, my supervisor did EMDR with her, and it seemed like it was fine, but not like overwhelmingly effective. But, you know, that intervention has happened. Have I hit all of the points there?
What would you like to hear from your classmates?
Well, to be honest, this is one of those that you're going to get plenty of opportunity to find places where I should change things. This is probably the video I'm the least proud of in my entire internship. So I'm just going to put it all out there. I thought about redoing it, and then I thought, I'm just going to show it to you like it is. It kind of makes me laugh. There's one particular scale that we use, and it's that one where it's 1 to 10, 5 is you know what to do, but you don't use the tools that you know, and then 6, rarely, 7, yada, yada. I can never remember that scale, and you will see in the video I just biff it so badly. Thankfully, we have a pretty good relationship, so we kind of laughed through it, but it was, we had technical difficulty with the video, and so I kind of did have to piece it together in one spot. And then, you know, just my, I just wasn't real present in the session. In fact, there was one time, at one point, my supervisor handed me this worksheet type thing that I was supposed to explain to the client, and I took it and just did the most ineffective job of explaining it that you can imagine, but it was as if I had never seen that worksheet. But the weird thing is that I actually developed it. So, you know, here it is. So have fun.
While you're pulling up that video, I will let you know we all have those days. So, you know, it happens to the best of us.
That's kind of what I thought, too. And I thought, you know, it was actually kind of great for me to recognize that I can show it to you and not feel like my career is over, because it's not indicative of the usual, I'm thankful to say.
But, yeah, it happens to all of us.
So here you go.
It's okay with you.
Do I get feedback even though I presented today, or?
You can.
Yeah, okay. Trudy, you are a queen amongst us. Your presence is calming, whether you recognize that or not, even through the screen. You would be a prime candidate for one of those telecounselors, because you just bring a calming presence even through the screen when you're with us in class, and that translates into the room. My encouragement for you would be to print the scale out. Just print it out. Print it out and laminate it. Doesn't, you know, I have a feelings wheel that's laminated. I don't have to memorize it. It's like, hand it to them, put it in their hand. That way you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to flip-flop back and forth which each number means. Print it out. And then at the beginning you did some paraphrasing, which I thought was really nice to kind of catch her up to where you needed her to be to get the session started. So those would be my things. Don't be too hard on yourself. Like Angela said, we all have bad days. And I'll be really honest with you. I did do a video and then I didn't like it. So I did a client later in the day. So, you know, I would say it is humbling to know that you are willing to share yourself at your worst with us. So thank you for doing that.
Trudy, I totally agree with Lindsay about your calming presence, and that does so much for just bonding, connecting with the client. Even though you made mistakes, like you talked about, it's really, you know, okay. And like Lindsay also said, it's nice that you'd share with us, you know, when you make mistakes. Because, of course, like Angela said, we all make mistakes and we all feel like, I don't know if you guys do, but a lot of times I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. So, anyway, the only thing that I kind of caught as the meat of the sandwich that you didn't talk about was when she was talking about the meeting up with her family, and it was the wrong day and she got real irritated. And one other thing she said was irritating her. I thought at that point you could have stopped her and kind of delve deeper into that, you know, and just kind of took that path with her. Yeah, you're a good counselor, you know. You've got great presence. You're very empathetic. Good job.
I love when you present, Trudy. I just do. I just really do. So the only real, like, mistakes, and I'm putting them in parentheses because I wouldn't even call them mistakes, that I saw were the ones that you pointed out to us beforehand. But had you not said them, I would not have picked them out as mistakes. Because you are so naturally empathetic and your presence is so naturally counselor-like that, you know, and even with the scaling thing, like, it wouldn't have seemed like a mistake to me because, I mean, you laughed through it with your client. The rapport was just that good. It's not a mistake. And I think it's so good for our clients to be able to see that, like, we're human, we're perfect, we don't have all the answers, and just more evidence that, yeah, you're going to have to do them yourself. I'm just a person to sit here, you know, and not to that extent, but I think you get what I'm saying. So that was super cool. I really like how, and Lindsay mentioned this a little bit, but in a different way, how after the scaling, you pointed out improvements. You didn't just scale and then move on and then be like, okay, what do you want to talk about? You said, okay, so we're like improving in most areas. I thought that was really good. I did notice that you weren't as attentive, but that's only because I've seen you present a few times now before. still, though, more attentive than most. I mean, like, I don't understand. It's awesome. And then also, again, like, you look really empathetic, but because I know you and I've spoken with you and I've seen you before and I know your, like, empathy scale and the level of empathy you are able to show, it was maybe somewhere in the middle, but for you. But again, for most, it's still like, you're just so good. Like, even, and what did I write down? Even on your worst day, you're so good. Clear to me that this is a real calling and purpose for you from God, directly from my notes. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you created the meat for my sandwich yourself, and I'll just give you all the bread. Oh, and I liked when you asked, kind of toward the end of the video, I liked when you asked about, or I liked when you focused on, asked her to focus on or bring her attention to what was the most pressing or significant issue at that time, because we can't do it all at once, and we have to know what's most important to be able to work on that, or else, you know, we're just stumbling and we don't know. We don't have much direction, so I really like that as well. But overall, love you. You're awesome. And thank you for showing us that video and allowing us to see something that might not feel comfortable for you, because it encourages me where, you know, I don't have to feel self-conscious if I, you know, face plant when I'm walking to my chair in my video or something. So I don't have to redo a whole new video, and so thank you for that. You're awesome. The end.
So, Trudy, I think we'll just have a jelly sandwich. I'm going to be vegan today, and we'll eat some jelly. I think you did a really, really good job with your minimal encouragers. I feel that you were very comfortable with the client, and despite what you see as a flub, I thought it was comfort. It was comfort. It was comforting to see that you would show us the video despite how you felt about it, and it's showing room for growth. So I thought that was really, really good. And even I could see that you had a good rapport with the client, but you were a little bit preoccupied with your presentation. So if there's anything that I could say, I would say just rest in, you know, what you're doing, because you're good at it. It's a calling, and God has given you the gift to listen well and speak to people as you should, because I just saw the session as being conversational. So I think you did really well, and I appreciate you for it. Thank you.
Trudy, I've worked with a lot of practicum students and intern students, and so when you said, you know, it's not a good video, I'm a little concerned, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, it's going to be a train wreck. It was not a train wreck. You felt very comfortable. Yeah, you were a little preoccupied with the videoing. That's everybody. I'm a little preoccupied with the videoing today. You know, to a certain extent, that's everybody when you're having to videotape yourself. You know, that's a little uncomfortable. But you did great. When I'm doing an assessment that involves a complicated scale for a client, I write it down ahead of time and I give it to the client on a sticky note. Or I think, I can't remember which one of y'all said it, but somebody said laminating it. I think that's a great idea too, especially if it's something that you're going to use on a regular basis. You know, things like that. Those are easy little tricks that we can use if it's something you're going to use regularly. But you did a phenomenal job. You have a presence with the client. You were there when it kind of, when you had to do the cut and paste and it kind of flipped to the different section, you were with the client. So, you know, I'm expecting something different, and now you did great. So don't worry. It was a good video. I echo your classmates yet again.
Well, I do thank you for the input, everybody. And I'm just